Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Wednesday, September 30th. It is a very exciting day in the sports world. The NBA Finals are getting started with the Lakers and Heat beginning their best of seven series. Also, in the baseball world, there is a slate of eight games today as the Major League Baseball playoffs get started in terms of the National League. The American League started yesterday. They're continuing today, but the National League also getting started as well. If you are a baseball fan at all and you've listened to the show, go Braves. Hopefully they will have a good showing. But beyond that, we'll get back to the reason that we're here, and that is basketball. Of course, you know, as I talked about yesterday, just a lot of awesome storylines going into this NBA Finals series. A lot of positive, just a lot of positive storylines. A lot of really good stories as far as the individual players on the rosters, the coaches, and things such as that. A really fun matchup that should be competitive. In the end, you know, right now the Lakers are favored, as they should be. I think the Lakers will, you know, win in six games. That's my personal prediction. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Heat pulled off the victory on their end. They've continued to surprise people, and they've continued to show that they can overcome, you know, any type of, you know, they can overcome teams that have more impactful talents. Of course, the two best players in this series will be LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but you could make the argument that the Heat have far more quality depth than the Lakers as well. So it'll be really interesting to see how these teams match up, and especially when it comes to Eric Spoelstra facing, you know, his former player in LeBron James. As always, you can find our show at you can find our show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC. And, of course, the show itself, wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone, however you choose to listen, we are available. And when you do listen, you know, subscribe, review, let us know what you think about the show. If there's any content you want to be discussed, let us know, as we always want to, you know, offer content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. So in this show, wanted to talk about, you know, we're starting the off season for the Grizzlies. And of course, the Grizzlies have their roster in place, as we've discussed. They have the major parts of their roster, the most critical parts to their future, the players who are going to play the biggest roles for the foreseeable future, you know, all locked up. You can make the argument that the Grizzlies' 8 or 9 top players in their rotation are locked up, you know, for at least next year, the majority of them, you know, for multiple years. But want to talk more about the Grizzlies in the present and in the past. And of course, you know, when it comes to roster building, as the Grizzlies are going to continue to do, and as they have been so successful doing over the past year, you know, the Grizzlies, since they've been in Memphis, have really had one key way in which they have built the roster and gained several of their best players in franchise history. Now, of course, there's three major ways to build a roster when it comes to the NBA. You can do it through free agency, you can do it through the draft, and you can do it through trades. And as I discussed yesterday, when it comes to recent, you know, championship success, recent ways in which teams have been able to build their way towards being championship contenders, all three of those ways that I mentioned have played a part. You know, of course, you know, for instance, when it comes to, you know, the Raptors in 2019, their ability to draft certainly allowed for them to be able to build their roster. Also through free agency, but of course there were trades in which they traded for Kawhi Leonard and they traded for Marc Gasol to complete their roster to win a title. With the Warriors, it was drafting, but also the ability to make trades. You know, they drafted Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, and they also made the trade for Kevin Durant, which helped them become one of the best dynasties in the history of the NBA. With the teams now that we're looking at in the NBA Finals, you know, of course, you had the Nuggets and you had the Celtics and you had the Heat. Each of them have had success through free agency, through trades, and through developing, the rest of their roster through the draft. Well, the Lakers, obviously, you know, they signed LeBron James in free agency. But because they had had some good success in drafting talents, you know, as they were rebuilding for Landry James, that led to them being able to trade for Anthony Davis. So in general, it's a mixture of all these different things. However, some locales can rely more on one of those three options than others. For instance, Miami and Los Angeles can rely more on building their rosters through free agency than a place like Memphis or perhaps Oklahoma City can. In a place like Memphis and Oklahoma City, you've got to be able to either draft well, trade well, or do a combination of both. Now, for Oklahoma City, when they were building their, you know, franchise, you know, as they built their franchise over the past, when they had Westbrook and Harden and Ibaka and Durant, it was through drafting. And then they made good trades to stay relevant when they traded for Paul George and when they traded for Chris Paul and when they traded Paul George again to the LA Clippers. So it's the ability to be able to draft well and trade well for small markets that really keeps them relevant as organizations. Well, as we know for the Grizzlies, you know, free agency has never been, you know, a big thing for them. You know, and the one time that they did try to make a splash was Chandler Parsons, and as we all know, that was a complete disaster. But the thing is that the draft, the Grizzlies did a decent job, you know, once they moved to Memphis, though they, you know, struggled, you know, really from the late part of the first decade in the 2000s through the grit and grind era. So what has allowed for the Grizzlies to still have some decent success in their time in Memphis? Again, the Grizzlies have made the playoffs in half of the seasons that they've been in Memphis. Well, it's been through trades. And when you really think about it, you know, the Grizzlies haven't ever brought in a true superstar, or, you know, they haven't really, you know, brought in a talent through a trade that has led them to, you know, unprecedented heights, you know, in terms of like a major superstar, you know, in his prime. But through trades, especially making trades in which they brought in young talents that were able to develop to higher ceilings than expected in Memphis, the Grizzlies have had some success. And it didn't just start out, you know, here recently. It's been that way throughout the history of the franchise. As a matter of fact, you know, as I've mentioned, you really could look back over the 25 or so years this franchise has been in existence and pinpoint a few trades that have really been impactful. You could look at Sharif Abdur-Rahim. When he was drafted by Vancouver, he played in Vancouver for 5 seasons. The Grizzlies then traded him off in their first season in Memphis. They acquired Pau Gasol, who was the backbone of the Grizzlies in their early years in Memphis and arguably the best player in franchise history and the reason why the Grizzlies had their early, you know, playoff runs in Memphis. Well, Gasol, once his time in Memphis had run its course, he was traded to the Lakers. And then, of course, the Grizzlies got Mark Gasol, who himself was the backbone and arguably the best player of the Grizzlies era when it comes to grit and grind. Well, of course, the Grizzlies got through the grit and grind era, and then they were, and then it came time for, you know, Zach Randolph and Tony Allen, you know, went their separate ways and eventually retired. Well, with Mark Gasol and Mike Conley, with the Grizzlies needing to face a rebuild and needing to embrace a rebuild, the Grizzlies then traded Mark Gasol. And of course, through that trade, that was the first domino to fall in the Grizzlies' rebuild. They acquired Jonas Valanciunas and others, but that was the first domino to really fall in this rebuild that has been so successful over the past 18 months. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back through the history of the Grizzlies franchise, looking at how trades have really impacted, you know, when the Grizzlies were first in Memphis, during the peak of their franchise in the grit and grind era, and currently, and how the trade has always played a major part in the Grizzlies roster construction. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. For each of us, restaurants have always been an outlet to the stress and rigors of everyday life that we have relied upon to provide us, you know, great meals and great time with family and friends that we care for. Well, unfortunately, with all that's gone on in 2020, that option is not as available as it used to be. Yet there still are ways in which we can enjoy the foods that we like from the different sources that we love when it comes to eating at restaurants, and that's through the app known as DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos to choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of our favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Again, if you open the DoorDash app, no matter if you want to eat from a chain restaurant or from a local source, you'll be able to get it right at your doorstep. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 your first order and zero delivery fees with DoorDash. So last week, we had started a series basically looking at the offseason outlooks for the Grizzlies' rivals. We talked to some outside sources about the Pelicans, the Rockets, and the Spurs. We'll be continuing that series in time as we get more wonderful guests on the show to talk about some of the Grizzlies' most well-known rivals and how those offseason outlooks could impact Memphis. But later this week, we'll be debuting the first episode of a new series called Brainstorming the Backcourt. I'll be talking with the different members of the Memphis beat, you know, prominent names that, you know, cover the Grizzlies around Memphis, and really looking at the part of the roster that probably its evolution, in my opinion, will have the biggest impact on just how much the Grizzlies become a contender. And that, of course, is the supporting, is the backcourt, you know, finding backcourt support for Ja Morant. We'll be looking at the current roster, their evolution, what could the Grizzlies do to eventually find the right roles for those players? Through trades, what could they do? Could they, what outside sources could they look at to complement Morant in time? Our first episodes in that series will be later this week, and really looking forward to that. But getting back to the subject at hand that we were talking about, of course, that is how the art of the trade has really impacted the Grizzlies' evolution as a franchise. And as I mentioned in the first segment, you really could look at the Grizzlies trading one their most impactful presence, their best player who's been in the post, how the trades of those players for each other have really helped to define the Grizzlies' time in both Vancouver and Memphis, from Sharif Abdur-Rahim being traded for Pau Gasol being traded for Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol being traded for Jonas Valanciunas. You know, when each of those three trades happened, it really was the end of one chapter and the beginning of another. But there have been plenty of other trades that have allowed for those chapters to be successful. So let's go back to, you know, when the Grizzlies first moved to Memphis, and that was during the summer of 2001. Now, at the time, the best players, basically the most well-known players on the Vancouver Grizzlies, were Sharif Abdur-Rahim and Mike Bibby. But when the Grizzlies were going to move from Vancouver to Memphis, you know, Bibby and Abdur-Rahim were, you know, in their mid-20s. They had established themselves as valuable NBA players and entering their prime, and they just made it clear they didn't want to, you know, go through a rebuild and go through a move in Memphis, which was fine. So the Grizzlies, basically knowing that they were going to go through a rebuild by moving to Memphis, they basically decided, okay, these players don't want to be here. Let's do what we need to do to get assets that do want to be here. So within basically a day of each other, near the draft of the 2000, or near the time of the 2001 NBA draft, the Grizzlies made multiple trades. They traded Mike Bibby to the Sacramento Kings for Jason Williams, and they also traded Sharif Abdur-Rahim to the Hawks for a package of players that included Brevin Knight and the draft pick that landed them Pau Gasol. Well, those were not the only trades that the Grizzlies did, significant trades that the Grizzlies did during their first few years in Memphis. They also traded 2002 first-round draft pick Drew Gooden at the 2003 trade deadline for Mike Miller. So now you had three players, Jason Williams, Pau Gasol, and Mike Miller, who were in the fold for the Grizzlies as they were trying to build a winner in Memphis. Other moves that were made, such as drafting Shane Battier and also bringing in James Posey in restricted free agency, helped to give the Grizzlies a very, you know, talented roster. And through that, the Grizzlies actually had their first playoff run. They made the playoff three straight times in the middle of the first decade of the 2000s. Now, wasn't that successful? You know, the Grizzlies lost, you know, 12, they lost 12 straight games. They set the record for most consecutive playoff losses, but the Grizzlies did have a plan in place. They saw it through, and it did generate some success, probably earlier than expected for most. You know, with the Grizzlies making the playoffs three straight times, they had established a core, they had had some decent success, and they saw how they could build a winner in Memphis. Well, after those three straight playoff appearances, you know, the Grizzlies again ran into a similar situation that they had when they, you know, were moving from Vancouver to Memphis. Players such as Battier, Gasol, others, you know, they didn't really make it as clear as Abdur-Rahim and Bibby had that they wanted, you know, to move on to other organizations. But Gasol did to an extent. But the Grizzlies did realize that for them to be able to, again, build a winner, it was likely going to be through young assets instead of maintaining the players that were entering their primes. So what did they do? They wound up trading those players again. Around the 2006 NBA draft, they traded Shane Battier to Houston, and in return got former number 2 overall pick Stromile Swift, as well as the rights to draft Rudy Gay. Of course, they then, a little bit further in time, they then did trade Pau Gasol. They traded him to the Lakers. Now, the funny thing about the Lakers, trading Pau Gasol to the Lakers, is that initially the Grizzlies' return actually pissed off a lot of people around the NBA. Even Greg Popovich called out the NBA. He stated that he felt that the return was laughable, that it seemed clear that the Grizzlies were only trying to do this as a cost-cutting move, as they were trying to make a transition in ownership. Well, little did folks know that one of the players that the Grizzlies acquired was Mark Gasol. Obviously, then, you know, after that, during the 2008 NBA draft, the Grizzlies then traded Mike Miller to the Minnesota Timberwolves, along with the rights to Kevin Love, for O.J. Mayo. And all of this occurred in trying to form a new core for the Grizzlies to build around as they were entering the 2010s. But of course, perhaps the biggest trade, the most valuable trade, the most influential trade that occurred in the history of the Grizzlies franchise. We traded Pau Gasol. We lost that power forward, but we did gain a center in Mark Gasol. Well, then, the next summer, in the summer of 2009, the Grizzlies traded for Gasol's tag team partner when they traded Quentin Richardson in exchange for Zach Randolph. So when you look at that grit and grind era, just as the core that had been created when the Grizzlies first moved to Memphis, several of the most important pieces of the grit and grind era were acquired via trade. Rudy Gay, O.J. Mayo, Mark Gasol, Zach Randolph. You throw in drafting Mike Conley and also signing Tony Allen, and you've got the core that was there for the grit and grind era. Now, as time went on, the Grizzlies, in support of Conley and Randolph and Gasol and Allen, they made other necessary trades in order for them to really have the best shot at maximizing their potential. Of course, the biggest of these was when it was clear that Rudy Gay was not working out in Memphis. They wound up trading him in a trade that wound up getting the Grizzlies Tayshaun Prince. Well, of course, when that occurred, the Grizzlies wound up making the Western Conference Finals. So it just goes to show that throughout the history of the Grizzlies, up to the point of the grit and grind era, the main way in which they got the majority of their cores during their first two successful playoff runs was through trades. And it's not just trades. It was the ability for the Grizzlies to develop these players or give players already in their prime, such as Randolph, a new opportunity on their career to make the most of it. So while the Grizzlies obviously had made, you know, regrettable trades, you know, such as, you know, for instance, the O.J. Mayo trade, as well as others, the art of the trade really played a part in the Grizzlies forming their core during their first playoff run in the middle of the first decade of the 2000s and during the grit and grind era. But of course, as successful as those two runs are, the art of the trade really, really came into focus for the Memphis organization in the recent past. The art of the trade has really played a part in the Grizzlies' current roster coming to fruition and how it formed over the past 2+ years. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, I'll talk more about that. Just how impactful a lot of different trades have been in allowing for the Grizzlies to form one of the best young rosters in the NBA. I feel like that if someone would ask the majority of people, you know, around the world, you know, if there was something that they could add to their daily routine to benefit them, it would be healthy activities. It's just hard to do at times with as demanding as schedules are and just our lives can be. However, you know, finding simple ways to add health are available. And one of those ways I feel that is, you know, definitely of good value is Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. A lot of times when it comes to adding protein bars to your diet, it's hard to do because the taste just isn't there. And if it is, it may not be that healthy. Well, with Built Bar, you really do get the benefit that you're looking for, both in taste and health benefits. And with Built Bar, the great thing about it is that you can have it really at any portion of the day. Have it for breakfast, before or after a workout, in the afternoon listening to your favorite Locked On podcast, however you choose to incorporate it. And the other great thing about Built Bar is that there's a lot of different variety. If you go to BuiltBar.com, there are different types of Built Bars that you can have and different flavors. For me personally, it's the peanut butter. I'm sure whatever taste you prefer will be there as well. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now and you put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. But I can tell you with confidence, it won't be your last, because once you make Built Bar a part of your day, you'll want it to last for as long as possible. Again, if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order with Built Bar. Another really exciting episode that I'm looking forward to, creating here in the near future is with a very special guest who really is one of the most progressive minds in the NBA when it comes to analytics and a statistical approach towards, schemes, strategies, and team roster building. We'll have him on next week, but really looking forward to this special guest as we look at how the Grizzlies were successful this season and some different ways in which the Grizzlies can improve going forward from different perspectives. So we will have that special guest on next week talking about, how to look at the Grizzlies kind of from an analytical, statistical perspective, a bit of a different way than a lot of folks may be used to. So looking forward to that episode. So getting back to, the art of the trade, we've discussed how, many trades have really allowed the Grizzlies to have their different peaks in the history of their franchise. Their, first playoff run in the middle of the first decade of the 2000s, and of course, the Grit and Grind era. Well, as the Grit and Grind era was coming to a close, the Grizzlies actually, continued to have success, but the art of the trade simply was not there as it was in the past. In fact, there were more, failings, more examples of failure in trades or, not making a trade, I think, than there were successes. Talking about the Jeff Green trade that, we finally, paid the debt on, in the 2020 draft lottery. There was the Justin Holiday trade in which the Grizzlies, tried to gain another player, but we wound up just giving assets away for a player that really didn't make a difference. There were the failed trades. There was the potential, there was Brooksgate in which, Marshawn or Dylan, who's getting traded, potentially to get Kelly Oubre, who would have been a great addition to the Grizzlies, then and now, but it didn't work out. And then also, of course, the year that we had Tyreek Evans, hoping that we could get a future asset or two for him. Of course, Chris Wallace held on to him, and that did not come into play. As a result of several of these decisions and others occurred, of course, with the Grizzlies' draft failures as well, the time had just come, the writing was on the wall, where the Grizzlies had to embrace a rebuild. And that was from top to bottom when it came to the franchise, not just in terms of the roster, but also in terms of the front office. So the Grizzlies obviously cleaned house at the end of the 2018-2019 season, but that was not the first domino to fall in terms of this rebuild. That was, of course, the Mark Gasol trade. And the difference this time, yes, we were starting a new era. Yes, the Grizzlies were going to have to find success in trades to really get that era going, this rebuild going, this next gen generation going as we moved on from Grit and Grind. But the difference that I want to really show in the trades that have occurred really over the past 18 months to 2 years is that there have been trades that really set up other trades. This new Grizzlies front office has really been progressive and proactive in using one move to set up other moves that really benefited them. So, of course, the Grizzlies traded Mark Gasol. That was the first domino to fall. The time had come where the Grizzlies were wanting to move on from Gasol and Conley, but before they moved on from them, they wanted to use them as ways to gain assets instead of just leaving them leave in free agency. So, of course, Gasol is traded to Toronto. We get back Jonas Valanciunas, DeLone Wright, CJ Miles, and a second-round pick. And the thing about it is that really allowed for the Grizzlies to bring in, to kind of change up their roster. The result of that trade, the immediate result, was the month of March in 2019, what was one of the most productive offensive months in the history of the Grizzlies, thanks to Valanciunas and some outside shooting and some elevated play from Mike Conley. But of course, that wasn't the end of that trade. You know, the Grizzlies during the summer, they wound up, you know, a lot of people thought that they were going to keep DeLone Wright kind of as a point guard who eventually would be a backup point guard for Ja Morant. But instead, the Grizzlies traded Wright to the Dallas Mavericks. And through that, they got Tyus Jones and 2 second-round picks. So the Grizzlies' original return for Gasol was, you know, veterans and you know, 1 second-round pick. When actually what they wound up doing was through another move, the trade wound up being Marc Gasol for Jonas Valanciunas, Tyus Jones, and 3 second-round picks. Not only did we gain 2 veterans and 2 now critical pieces of this young roster in place, but we also gained 3 future assets. So the Grizzlies, using 1 trade as a way to set up others, that trend started, and it started to be very, very successful. But of course, that wasn't the only trade that the Grizzlies did, that this new front office showed they had the ability to do by being creative and taking advantage of situations. Obviously, the 2 big trades that occurred for the Grizzlies last summer were the Mike Conley trade, as well as the trade in which they acquired Andre Iguodala and the a first-round pick. So the Mike Conley trade occurred. You know, and in that, the original return was Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, Grayson Allen, the Utah Jazz's first-round pick in the 2019 draft, and of course a future first-round pick from the Jazz. Well, the fallout from that was absolutely amazing. Other trades obviously occurred. You know, going through the list, obviously the trade of Conley created the exception that allowed for us to take on Andre Iguodala's contract, as well as the first round pick for doing so, from the Phoenix Suns, from the Golden State Warriors. Of course, Korver and 2018 second round pick Javon Carter, they were traded to the Suns for two additional second-round picks, Josh Jackson and DeAnthony Melton. The Grizzlies used their draft pick that they got from the Utah Jazz to pick Brandon Clark. And as we mentioned, they already got DeLone Wright and Tyus Jones, because they did not sell DeLone Wright, and second-round picks for him. So the Grizzlies were able to take Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, trade them to very beneficial situations for them. Gasol wound up winning the title. You know, Conley wound up being in a playoff situation, you know, this year. But because of those 2 trades, they led to more and more trades that not only allowed for the Grizzlies to get complementary pieces for their current roster, but also really add depth to their future assets. Again, a compliment to the creativity of this front office. But it wasn't just done there. You know, the Grizzlies, in acquiring Jay Crowder and acquiring, Solomon Hill, they made another trade in which they traded Chandler Parsons they traded Chandler Parsons to Atlanta, in which they got Solomon Hill in return. So the Grizzlies, through all the moves that they made during the summer of 2019, they, on the fly, within a few months, completely redid the roster. It was a complete roster overhaul, but they got several players in place that they really could start to build a core around. And so, of course, they weren't done, because at the 2020 trade deadline, they wound up trading Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, and Solomon Hill to the Miami Heat for James Johnson, Deion Waiters, and Justice Winslow. Now, obviously, the move was made to bring Winslow into the equation. James Johnson was eventually traded for Gorgui Dieng. Deion Waiters was released. And you can sit here and say, you know, I feel that it is not really an insult to the Grizzlies to say that they did not benefit more than the Heat did from this deal. The Grizzlies got a player in Justice Winslow that they really feel could be a good part of this core. We haven't seen it yet. While the Heat gained Hill, Crowder, and Iguodala. Crowder has become a very significant piece for the Heat's success, while Iguodala and Hill are good reserves. But at the end of the day, the main point to show is this, is that while in the past the Grizzlies used, you know, multiple, you know, single standalone trades to develop their cores and bring in, you know, talented players to form teams that could be playoff contenders, this time around, the Grizzlies did a phenomenal job in setting up and allowing for a few major trades to set up several smaller trades to build their core. And it's amazing when you really look at this core. When you look at this core, it is truly amazing to see how many players truly are the result of trades. Jonas Valanciunas was in the Marc Gasol trade. You know, really the players who are not involved are Kyle Anderson, who was signed in restricted free agency, Ja Morant, who was a draft pick, Dylan Brooks, who was a draft pick, and Jaren Jackson. Now, you've got other players that weren't, you know, directly involved in trades that came over, like Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark. But the reason why they were available to come over was through other trades. So when you look at the Grizzlies roster, Jonas Valanciunas, Brandon Clark, Justice Winslow, Grayson Allen, De'Anthony Melton, so on and so forth, you really start to see just how impactful the art of the trade has been for the Grizzlies. And I bring all this up, I bring all these specific examples of trades in the Grizzlies' history for one major reason. It's to show that due to the Grizzlies' location, due to their location in a small market, and in a place that's just not a free agent destination, while we hopefully will continue to have success in the draft, I truly do feel that the art of the trade is the one avenue in adding talent that is going to be most impactful on this organization going forward. Not only is it in terms of identifying correct talent to trade for, but knowing when to make those trades. For instance, this offseason, you know, as we're going to talk about in the brainstorming the backcourt episodes here in the near future, you know, when do you make those trades? Who do you target? Do you target someone that will stay around for just a little bit, or do you target someone that you can control for multiple years? There are so many different factors to consider when it comes to making trades for players that are already established. But this front office can figure it out. As we mentioned before, when it comes to Taylor Jenkins, Zach Kleiman in the front office, they are so, you know, particular. They're so careful and cautious and planning when it comes to their decisions that it's likely if they make a move that it's going to be successful. Not every move is going to be a home run, you know, and it doesn't need to be. But as long as the Grizzlies can stay proactive and progressive and creative in terms of their ability to acquire talent and assets through the art of the trade, I really think that's going to be one of the most critical developments in them being able to support Jaren, Ja, and Brandon as they build around this core here in Memphis. So far, there's been nothing but high levels of success for what the Grizzlies have done. And if the Grizzlies can continue to show that success in the art of the trade, I really think that that's going to be a huge, huge factor in them becoming the sustainable winners and contenders that they want to be in the near future. Again, you can find myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, and the podcast anywhere where podcasts are available. Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your iPhone. We would love for you to listen, and please let us know how you feel about the show. Again, later on this week, we will be having the first few episodes in our series, Brainstorming the Backcourt, with some special guests. Really looking forward to that. Again, can't thank you enough for listening to this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. We'll talk to you soon.